Well, let's move on to some international news. The death toll of the Ebola outbreak in West Africa has surpassed 2,900 people. The World Health Organization said today that more than 6,000 cases of Ebola have been reported so far in West Africa. And this week, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention put out the chilling estimate that by January of next year, 1.4 million people could be infected with Ebola in Sierra Leone and Liberia. As the WHO stated on Tuesday, quote, "The true number of deaths will likely never be known as bodies in the notoriously poor, filthy, and overcrowded West Point slum in the capital of Monrovia have simply been thrown into two nearby rivers." That's Monrovia in Liberia. Well, in order to really know how many people are sick and have died, the government and health workers need to know where they are, and that requires maps and addresses. But according to Boston Globe technology writer Hiawatha Bray, several tech companies are at work on the challenge because many people in these countries don't have conventional addresses. He wrote about the mapping effort and its promise for public health in the Boston Globe. Hiawatha, good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be here.
So first of all, let's talk about why so many people, you know, you've written upwards of millions of people are unaddressed in places in West Africa.
I was embarrassed to learn about this because I just got through writing a book called You Are Here about navigation and mapping, and I didn't realize this until very recently. It turns out that a very large percentage of the planet's population, the UN isn't sure how many, do not have traditional addresses. They have never lived in a community where somebody basically walked down the street and said, okay, this will be 123 Main Street, this will be 125 Main Street, this will be 127 Main Street. Nobody has ever done it in the towns they live in. In many cases, they lived in rural areas. And of course, throughout the world, this is happening everywhere now, we have this massive shift of the human population from rural areas to cities. And they're moving into these basically squatters camps in cities all over the world, millions of people, and many of these places they're moving into are rapidly assembled houses that are little more than hovels, and they don't have addresses.
Right.
Monrovia in Liberia, the whole country of Liberia, never had addresses. They never did it. They lost their real estate records during the civil war that they were having back in the 90s, but even before that, the real estate records never were detailed enough to include addresses.
Huh.
It's amazing.
It is amazing, and especially when you think about how in modern-day epidemiology and public health, mapping where diseases are located and where the people carrying those diseases are going is one of the most, as you've written, basic and primary tools.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody knows the famous story of the ghost map in London, the famous story of how a guy named John Snow really revolutionized the science of epidemiology by using location data to figure out where this cholera epidemic started. And it helped them pinpoint it and stop it. Knowing where people are sick, knowing how the disease spreads, requires you to know where everybody is. And not only that, in Liberia, they had another problem. They're setting up health clinics, and they want people to go to them to get treatment. They don't know how to tell people how to get there. The places they're setting them up don't have addresses. So you can't just say to somebody, go to 123 Main Street. There's no such thing.
Wow. So tell me about the effort then to give addresses to everyone in Liberia. Who's doing it, and when did it start?
Well, it's interesting. At least two organizations are working on it. One of them is a land developer in Utah, and they have an organization called Addressing Homes, and they're the ones working on Liberia specifically. And meanwhile, entirely separate, when I started asking him about him, he'd never heard of the guy in Utah. There's a guy in Dublin. He's a direct mail marketer, and he was working on a project to improve the mail system in Ireland, and they came up with a technology that could be used to create addresses easily for any place in the world. They're called GoCode, and both of these guys are working. The one in GoCode has actually been deployed. They have deployed it in a neighborhood in Calcutta, India, and they have given addresses to thousands of people who never had it before. So both systems work. What they basically are doing is they're using GPS data and latitude and longitude, and often, in many cases, they're using aerial maps, such as Google Maps. You can look at the map and actually see individual houses in many cases, and you can actually figure out from that what the actual latitude and longitude is, and then you run that through a computer program and it spits out an address, which you can then assign to that house. But in many cases, they have to send a human being there to actually go to the facility. So in the case of the Utah outfit, they created this $8,000 device that has a GPS and a camera and a satellite radio in it. You walk up to the person's house, you take a picture of the house, you associate it with a specific latitude and longitude, and you use the satellite radio to transmit that to headquarters, and it spits out an address.
Well, I'm wondering, given that, is there any possibility that these efforts can be crowdsourced? Because so many people have mobile technology in West Africa, could we rely on the residents themselves to say, basically, through their phones, I am here?
In theory, you could do that. And I talked to them about it. They said that at the early stages, they want to make sure that they are more focused on accuracy than speed. But indeed, that is possible. You could do this sort of like, I don't know if you've ever heard of OpenStreetMap. Have you ever heard of that? OpenStreetMap, the outfit started in London by a guy who basically got people to go out with GPS devices and map all of Great Britain. And now much of the world has been mapped this way. So, yes, you absolutely could have volunteers do it. But for now, they want to use their own computer algorithms. They want to use Google Maps and aerial photographs. And they want to use actual government workers armed with these sophisticated devices to go and get the exact latitude and longitude of each house. And then they can use that to generate an address. And the addresses are really very techy. They're like 8-digit codes, basically.
Wow. Okay. So it's not your standard, you know, 890 no. Commonwealth app. Where we're
right,
located.
It's something like 1X, 2L, J, 1, and then they give you the street name, if there is a street name, such as Tubman Street in Monrovia. And also, you get the equivalent of a Liberian zip code.
So
once you've got that, you can find those people again.
Have international health workers and government said that they want to use this data as soon as it's available?
Well, I haven't heard from international workers, but for example, the government of Liberia is working with these guys. They're trying to figure out a way to deploy this as quickly as possible because they would like to be able to do this kind of tracking. And they're hoping they can get started on it by sometime next year. But it's not something that can be done overnight. It's going to take years in the long run to map all of Liberia. Although the guy I was talking to who's working on this at Addressing Homes in Utah says he's going to start doing at least one of the country's zip codes by himself just on his own to prove that it can be done, because all he needs is aerial maps of the area, and he should be able to do most of the houses in that area just by himself without any further help from the government.
So Hiawatha, this is an effort to do something very, very elementary and essential, and that is, like you said, assigning physical locations and addresses to places all around Liberia. But, you know, it makes me naturally wonder about the use of mapping in sort of predictions of where diseases will go, because we've seen efforts on that front, you know, right here in the United States. It was Google Maps, right, that tried to do the flu finder, was it something like that? And,
well,
and it wasn't, I mean, it had sort of a sketchy record in terms of accuracy and as that kind of tool.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't think this would help in that area, because you're talking about what Google was doing was not looking at mapping data. They were looking at what other stuff people were looking for when they did Google searches. They weren't looking at map data.
I see.
They were saying, oh, okay, are they doing lots of searches for particular topics like, you know, colds, flu, and other things? I wish I could remember, but they came up with things you wouldn't think had anything to do with flu, but they found that when people searched for them, a lot of those people were probably coming down with the flu. But it didn't always work. As you mentioned, I believe it was last year, it turned out to be completely unsuccessful at predicting the flu. But I did want to get into one other point about this whole thing about addressing.
Sure.
We're talking about Ebola, and we have to be very careful not to just get stuck on that. We take having an address so much for granted that we have no idea how vital it is to plugging you into the modern world. Do you know what else you can't do if you don't have an address? You can't register to vote.
Yeah.
You can't get a bank account. You can't get stuff delivered to you from Amazon.com or whatever. There are countless things that you cannot do in the modern economy or in modern government unless you have a street address. So once these people get addresses, their political and economic empowerment is going to be just dramatically enhanced, as well as their ability to be protected from disease. This is an amazingly important project, and I'm amazed that I didn't even realize it was such a terrible problem. But it's huge, and people have got to get this solved.
So it's huge and important, but on the other hand, just one last quick question for you, Hiawatha.
Sure.
You're talking about the huge flow of humanity into urban centers. A lot of those people don't necessarily want to have addresses. Is there a privacy concern here?
Oh, that's a very fair point. There's that, and there's the flip side issue. A lot of these people are basically squatting on land that doesn't belong to them, and governments are really worried about this. If we give them an address, do they now think they have a claim to this land? And like you said, on the other hand, there are people who are saying, I don't want to be visible to the government. I don't necessarily want people to know where we are. Yeah, that is a real issue, but I think it's relatively minor compared to the more important issue of making sure that we can actually find each other. You can't really participate in the modern world if you're just drifting out there and nobody knows where to track you down. You're right. to some extent, it means some loss of privacy. But I think most of us have learned to live with it. And in exchange, we get to get stuff show up in the mail from Amazon.com, possibly even delivered by a drone. So, you know, you get six of one and half dozen of the other. And I think it's a trade-off that's well worth making.
Well, and in Liberia, it's also helping to maybe not realize that 1 million people who the CDC could come down with Ebola by
next year.
Absolutely.
And it's not just Liberia. All over Africa, exactly. This needs to be done. That's right.
Well, Hiawatha Bray is author of You Are Here, From the Compass to the GPS, The History and Future of How We Find Ourselves. He's also the tech writer for the Boston Globe. You can find more information about his book and a link to his article about mapping the unaddressed at radioboston.org. Hiawatha, always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Always fun to drop by. Thanks a lot.
Well, stick with us, because when we come back, we'll talk about the history of the Republican Party, from Abe Lincoln to the Tea Party, and the fundamental tension that's always resided in the GOP. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.